As we start Iyar, the month of Iyar, we know that in the 5th of Iyar is Yom HaAtzmaut, the great miracle that occurred to the Jewish people, having a country to return to after so many years of not being able to return on our own freedom. So it's certainly appropriate to discuss in Yanei Eretz Yisrael, things related to the land of Israel and our connection to the land of Israel as we approach the 5th of Iyar. So what I really want to discuss is kissing the land of Israel, an image that we have in our minds that perhaps we ourselves may have engaged in, or we have seen a video or footage of Ethiopians arriving in the land at Ben Gurion Airport and kissing ground, and people from Yemen, Russia, all different types of background, oh, so overcome with emotion and joy to finally be in Eretz Yisrael, that they bend down and kiss the land. So we want to discuss where does this come from, the idea, the source, and the perspective behind this seemingly very holy custom of kissing the land of Eretz Yisrael. But in order to appreciate it, I really want to take a tour of every other place we have in Halakha where we find the idea of kissing a mitzvah. We know that very often we kiss mitzvos, or chefzah shel mitzvah, an object used for a mitzvah in the process of observing the mitzvah. So I think by learning and discussing those other cases and then coming back at the end to the coming to Eretz Yisrael, we'll have a greater appreciation for what is behind this custom, this minhag, and what it represents for the Jewish people. We're going to go in order of as it appears in Shulchan Aruch. We'll go from the beginning to the end of Shulchan Aruch, and I can't really think of anything else on the list over here, but hopefully, I think I was pretty exhaustive, the things we're going to cover, but we'll see if anybody has anything else that's not over here. The first is tzitzis. Okay, the Ramah writes in Orach Chaim and Chaf Dalet Dalet, and this is also in the Darkei Moshe, where he brings this as well, that it's appropriate to kiss tzitzis when you recite the last parsha of Shema. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh nagim histakel b'tzitzios mishiagim l'ri'isim oso. Many people look at the tzitzis, when you get the line of, you shall see them, when referring to the tzitzis. V'iteno sam alideyam, many people put it on their eyes. V'mineg yafo b'chivuvai mitzvah. And this is a proper minhag because it shows your love of the mitzvah. You're taking it and you're putting it on your body, your eyes, and you're looking at it. It shows how much you adore this mitzvah. Says the Ramah, Gam noagim tzaslana sheka tzitzis b'shah sharoa bam v'hakol hu chiva mitzvah. It's also appropriate to kiss the tzitzis because this shows one love for the mitzvah as well. Mike now, said, what?
Mike said, is it? Why is he modifying? Why does he say gam noagim tzaslana sheka? Not too much.
Some people. Some people do this. No, it doesn't mean like kiss a little bit. It means some people kiss the tzitzis.
What, at Arisa? Or?
He doesn't say where exactly. He just says that some people kiss them when you look at the tzitzis. But he doesn't really give us a very strong definition. This is based on the Arizal. The Arizal writes in the Shaar Kavanos, and the Arizal is really speaking about kissing them when you recite Arisim Osam. Not when it comes to saying the word tzitzis, which is the common minhag. The Chesed La'alafin there in the Shulchan Aruch, citing the Kaf HaChaim, says you should kiss them when you say the word tzitzis. So the minhag comes from the Chesed La'alafin, cited by the Kaf HaChaim, to kiss the tzitzis when reciting the word tzitzis itself. And then if you look in the Berhetiv there in the Shulchan Aruch, that brings the minhag to kiss them after Shema when you say the phrase of Nechmadim La'ad, and then you drop the tzitzis. So all different types of things based on Kabbalah. This is brought as the minhag in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as well, and that's probably where the popularity came from, because once the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it in Siman Yud Zayin, that really gets picked up by the rest of Klal Yisrael, and the Makor Minhagim in Siman Yud argues that maybe this is a hefsek, you're in the middle of saying Shema, what are you kissing things for? He doesn't like the minhag. And the minhag of the Gra in the Maisa Rav in Siman Lamed Tes, which you see over here, B'kriya Shema Oche Shei Tzitzios Shulafanav, the Gra would hold only the two tzitzis in front of his house, not in the back, because the Gra was careful that you always have two tzitzis in the front and two in the back. If you bring all four to the front, then you don't have two in the front, two in the back. That was the minhag of the Gra. And then he says, V'eino no sheik klal. The Gra would not kiss them at all. It doesn't explain why the Vilna Gaon wouldn't do it, but the assumption of the commentaries is that the Gra felt it was a hefsek. It was a break in the recitation of Shema, another distraction. You have hard enough time paying attention during Shema, you don't have to worry about kissing it as well. Said the Gra, just leave it alone and say the word. So that is number one. Again, showing the idea of chiv of mitzvah, the love of the mitzvah. Then let's turn to Tfilin, the Avudraham, in his bringing together the halachas of the Siddur, cites a Gaon. It doesn't say who, but someone from the Gaonic period, who that it's a minhag chachamim to kiss the tefillin when you put them on and when you take them off. Right? So writes the Shulchan Aruch as well. Minag haChachamim l'nashek hatfilin b'shas hanachasan u'b'shas chalisasan. This is in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Chafes Sif Gimel and cited by the other Rishonim as well. Now the Gra says this is actually based on a Gemara in Sukkah. If you look at the very very tiny writing over here in the Be'er HaGra, so he says if you look at the Gemara in Sukkah and Dafim Heman Alf, it tells us that at the end of Sukkot, after they would finish the Hoshanah ceremony of the Beis Hamikdash, they would always say goodbye to the Mizbeach. They would say, the Mizbeach is Yofi, we love you, and they would always verbally express their love for the Mizbeach after the Hoshanah ceremony was over on Sukkot to show their love for the mitzvah. And therefore the Gra says this is the source, some sort of physical action towards the inanimate object to show the love of the mitzvah. Now, what did the Shulchan Aruch write? Minag HaChachamim. The minhag of Tamidei Chachamim is to kiss the tefillin when you put them on and then when you take them off. But it doesn't say everyone. So comes the Eliyahu Rabbah here in Simen Chaches, and Eliyahu Rabbah says, this is the minhag everyone should do as well. Not just Chachamim, but this is an appropriate minhag for all different types of people to adopt to show their love of the mitzvah. That is what appears in Orach Chaim. Let's move over to Yoredeya regarding a Sefer Torah. So the Or Zeruah writes in Chelek Beis and Simen Mem Ches that we should bring children to kiss the Torah when it's brought to and from the Aron Kodesh. And this is what the Ramah writes, because it shows a love of Torah and mitzvah. So the Ramah says in Simen Kuf Mem Ches in this is still Orach Chaim, my mistake. He says, V'yeshe kasu shabai matinokos l'nashek ha-Torah kedei l'chavava u'lizarzam b'mitzvah s'cheinogen. You should bring the children to kiss the Torah because it shows and it increases a love for Torah and mitzvos. The Ma'arikash says, not only should children do this, but everyone. And this is where the minhag comes from, that we go and we kiss the Torah to show our love of the Torah. What's his explanation, says the Ma'arikash? It's a kal v'chomer from tefillin, right? We just learned that tefillin we kiss because to show the love of the mitzvah. If tefillin, which is a little bit of the Torah, we kiss, then how much more so we should kiss a whole Torah itself to show our love.
Tefillin's a mitzvah from the Torah. Reading the Torah, showing 99% of the time, is not a mitzvah from the Torah. So one time you're doing a mitzvah of the Torah, so you're kissing someone, it's a mitzvah.
Yeah.
Reading the Torah is not a Torah commandment.
I hear. I don't know if it's a good question. Is it connected to the mitzvah or is it the object of the mitzvah? Is it the fulfillment or the object? I hear the
point.
How about
kissing the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh throughout davening?
Touching. That has to do with not forgetting about the mitzvah. Because when you think about the mitzvah and you say certain points, you want to make sure you don't forget about it. So you touch it to make sure you're...
Is it touching or kiss it?
Well, it's hard to kiss the Shal Rosh. You can kiss your hand and kiss the Shal Rosh. But it's more just some people touch and kiss, but it's I think more in of the touching. But if you want to kiss as well, I'm sure it is certainly appropriate. The Sharim HaMetzuyarim B'Halacha, Rav Braun, in his classic commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, we don't have it over here because he has a very long piece, he writes in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Chav Gimel, a different Kal V'Chomer that we should kiss the Torah. Why do we know? Because a while ago we learned about the issue of not showing affection in shul. It's not appropriate to hug or kiss children in shul, because really in shul, the whole show of love should be towards Hashem, not towards another human being. And one of the proofs is from a Rashi in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Zayin, where Rashi says that when they would leave shul on the way out, they would kiss the respective people in the community. They would kiss their hands, whatever it was. So we see from Rashi that they would always happen when they left shul, but not in the shul. Says the Sharm HaTzion B'Halacha, we have a Kal V'Chomer here. If I'm going to kiss the Talmud Chacham when he's in Shul, then how much more so I should kiss the Torah itself? This obviously calls into question. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that talks about Svardim kiss the hands of the... Yeah.
I just found out of when literally there was a Svardi family.
Yeah.
At every opportunity, I mean, several times throughout davening, they kissed one another.
Yes, so we got things like that.
So I didn't understand it at all. But I guess
it comes from this source in Rashi and other Rishonim as well. So certainly it's appropriate to kiss the Torah. This is also the opinion of the Hagos of Rav Avraham Azulai and the Lavush, who says it has a sod niskav, a very deep secret to kiss the Torah. And the Kaf HaChaim quotes the Arizal. Everyone supports the idea of kissing the Torah. Now, there are two ways to kiss the Torah, and this is a bit of controversy. Should one kiss the Torah with their mouth, as one would kiss somebody else, or should you kiss the Torah with your hand, either kissing your hand and touching the Torah, or touching your hands to the Torah and then kissing your hand. What's going on over here? So we have here a big machlokas in the Achronim.
You can touch the Torah directly? What? Why do we have a yad?
No, we're talking about the parokas. Yeah, the around. No, we'll get to that later on. But when the Torah is being carried around. The Chemdas Yamim, which is a sefer that has its own controversy, we'll leave for another time. So he discusses the concept of not kissing the Chesed Shel Mitzvah itself, but rather the hands that touch the object that is the mitzvah. And he says this is a minag boros. It's a minag of fools to kiss your hand. What's your hand? What does that accomplish anything? You want to kiss the mitzvah, not your hand. Your hand's not special. The Yesod V'Shosha, Avodah of Alexander Ziskin writes in Perek Zion, you should kiss the Torah, not kiss your hand, because the Torah is the main thing. The Or Tzadikim of Maram Paprish writes in Osamach Tes as well, as does the Chesel Alafim, that it's not appropriate to kiss your hand, you should kiss the Torah. I remember hearing a number of years ago from a Talmud of Rav Volbi, the famed Mashkiach, and I don't know if the story is true, but it certainly fits this theme. So Rav Volbi saw a student of his who went over to the Torah when he was going around, and he took his hand and he touched the Torah and he kissed his hand. So Rav Volbi asked the student later on, is that how you kiss your mother? Well, you touch her with your hands and you kiss her hand? No, if you love something, you kiss it 100%, you kiss it with your mouth. And that's the right way to do it, to show one's true love. So that is one approach within the Achronim regarding how one should do it, because the explanation is clear and it's logical. If you kiss something, kiss it in a normal way. What's the point of kissing your hand?
Logistics.
Ah, so let's get to the logistics. So the Kitzur Shla says that kissing your hand also works. And he says, this is a chibur hatara. It shows you're connecting to something pure. It still shows a love for the mitzvah. It doesn't take away from your love of the mitzvah. And this is the opinion of the Tshuvas of the Divrei Yisrael and Chelek Aleph and Dalid, the Tshuvas Hillel Omer and Simon Pei Dalid, all saying it's perfectly fine to kiss the hand as well. And the beautiful Siddur, left over there, the Tzalusada of Rum by the Landau, which is a beautiful commentary on the Siddur, published about 100 years ago, totally redone by Mosadar of Cook in the last couple of years. So he says it's improper to kiss the Torah with your mouth, because the Gemara tells us that you shouldn't drink from a cup that somebody else drank from, because that's not sanitary to have somebody else's saliva in your food. So says the Tzalusada of Rum. How much more so over here, he says. Look over here in Sof Kriyas HaTorah, he says in the end of the page, he says, V'lo manach l'nashik bapeh, mitpachas ha-sefer Torah. Don't put your mouth in the Torah. And he says, Nir li-tam, the reason is, as the Rambam writes, V'hu ma yushalmi, asur la'adam li-tein mos, ben adidar matoch piv. You shouldn't put money in your mouth, because it might have germs from somebody else. It's dirty, disgusting. Your mother told you this. Other people's germs are not good for you. Look in the Taz, quoting with Savas of Rav Elazar HaGadol, Shemazir Ma'ot, Shalol, Lishtos Mikos, Shishayah Chiburo, you shouldn't drink somebody else's cup. Kishami Yishlo, Eza Choli, Besof Kufo, the sickness and the germs will travel, Yatzaruach Mipiv. And then he says, my grandfather, his chashuv grandfather, would not put l'nishinishko kula mitpachas a sefer Torah. The whole Torah is going around the whole shul, and 100 people are kissing the Torah. It's a germ factory. It's not appropriate to do such a thing. Shaminisha rok chaveru al hamitpachas v'ish chashash sakana alo kishino gea b'yad tu leis fanba. Use your hand. It's a little more sanitary when it comes to touching the Torah. I actually saw Rav Eliezer Malama, the Shiva Har Bracha, in his Sefer on Pnine Halacha. He says, I don't have it on the sheets, I'll just quote to you. He says, V'roi shecholo o mitzunan lo yinashik es haTorah b'piv. Someone who's sick or has a cold should not kiss the Torah with their mouth. That's not nice. Kadei shelo lahad bikas shar hamispalim b'machloso. I would go even further. If you're sick, just don't touch the Torah at all. It's not nice to other people. It's because you want to touch the Torah that they need to get a cold or whatever sickness you have. Be careful and be conscientious of other people's germs and sanitary issues. So the Shari Ephraim, the classic sefer on the laws of Kriyas HaTorah in Perek Yud, he says that maybe l'chatchila you should kiss it with your mouth, but the evidence is fine with your hand. But whatever a person's been doing, the Minhagim certainly have what to rely on. There's a great story about the Malbim. The Malbim once went to visit the town, and I guess there was a Stalin residence or something. He was there for Shabbos, and he saw the following thing in the town. When it came to the Torah walking around, so the Malbim noticed everyone was touching the Torah with their hands, not kissing it directly, just touching the Torah with their hands, using their hands. But when it came to making pledges for tzedakah, everyone was making pledges, orally, But apparently nobody was paying off after they made the pledges on Shabbos. People would make these big pledges, and the Gabbai had to run around, you know, all year trying to get people to pay up. So the Malbim said, I see the minhagim in this community. I wish it would be the other way. People should be using their hands to make the pledges for tzedakah and their mouths to kiss the Torah. Don't flip it around the other way. So that was the story said about the Malbim. Okay, what about other minhagim related to the Torah? The Mateh Ephraim writes in Tafresh Yates, we know the minhag is to kiss the Torah by Kol Nidre. Why? Because it shows our love for the Torah, and it's also a form of mechila and kapara, forgiveness, asking the Torah for forgiveness if we may not have kept the Torah properly this year. And by kissing the Torah, it shows our contrition, our being sad that we did not keep the Torah properly. And this is what we actually say specifically in Tefillah Zaka before Yom Kippur, that our kissing of the Torah should be a kapara or some sort of tshuva for not keeping the Torah itself.
The Torah, I don't know. I mean, is there any other time we take up the Torah without reading it? But it seems that's counter to everything we do. That why we take up the Torah? You can't just
the taking of the Torah here is connected to the Kol Nidre that we're making an oath, just like by Basin, they take out the Torah and making a statement. It has nothing to do with Kriyas HaTorah.
No. I'm saying.
Yeah.
The principle is we don't just take out the Torah like. Just
correct.
Like that. So it's
for a totally different reason.
You're saying it's Basin.
Correct. Next, the last thing regarding the Torah is the Magad Avram. The Magad Avram writes in Kuf Lamed Tes, quoting the Sefer Chassidim in Reishim Hey. Look at the Sefer Chassidim on the top of the next page. He says, first he has the source that we know about not showing affection in Shul. And at the end of the line he writes, La'acha shekara b'Torah, menashik Sefer Torah. It's proper to kiss the Torah after you get an aliyah. What's the pasuk? It says in Shir Hashirim, Yishakeni minishukos piu, that the Torah, we kiss the Torah, we show our love for the Torah by kissing it. And this is cited by the Mishnah Berurah as well, in Sifchas Lamed Hey, in Simen Kuf Lamed Tes. If you look at the Makor Chesed from Rabbi Margolios in his commentary on the Sefer Chassidim, he writes here in Os Beis, that it's brought by the Magen Avram, Aval lo yavir taliso ala osios. Don't kiss the letters. Don't put whatever you're kissing on the letters of the Torah itself. Kilupamim yesham luchluchis. It might be damp or something. Rok shenisatas mipia korei vavim mochek. And you're going to erase the Torah. You're going to ruin the Torah, he says. Lachen aminag liyagab begilyon ha'amud ulanashek. If you're going to kiss the Torah before or after the aliyah, and the Baal Kori shows you where the aliyah is going to be from, don't touch the letters of the Torah. Go on the side of the Torah. You're not going to touch the letters because you may inadvertently come to ruin the letters of the Torah. Don't touch the letters themselves. Finally, we know the meaning of Darshanim. Many times when people get up to speak in Shul by the Parochas, the Shari Ephraim writes in Perek Dalet, that many people kiss the Parochas before or after they speak. Different aspects over there see the Shari Ephraim. Good, we're done with the Torah. Let's move on to the Mezuzah. We know we always teach children from a young age to try and kiss the mezuzah. So we don't have any sources here regarding the mezuzah. We'll have to tell you, it'll be Torah Shabbat Peh. I'll tell you what it says. There's a Gemara in about Azar Dafid Al from Al, famous story of Uncleus Hager. Uncleus converted to Judaism. The Caesar was not happy about that conversion, so he tried to get his soldiers to bring Uncleus to him and so he could, you know, give him a good talking to about his conversion to Judaism. So Caesar sends troops to him, and he started giving them a whole Isha Torah, you know, discovery seminar schmooze. And within 5 minutes of talking to Uncleus, all the soldiers converted to Yiddishkeit, and he had them in the palm of his hand. Caesar was not pleased about that, so he sent more soldiers. And he told them, don't talk to him. Just bring him to me. Don't talk to him. He's clearly very charismatic. Just bring him, no talking. So as they were leaving, he said, I just want to say one thing. And he gave him a whole mushel, and he kind of got a word in, and then finally they converted, he got them hooked in, and a few minutes later they all were in the palm of his hand, and again he had them going towards Yiddishkeit. And finally he sent more troops, and he said, don't talk to him, nothing, don't even listen, plug your ears, nothing, we put on headphones, don't talk to this guy, he's clearly bad news for you. So they don't talk, they go and they grab him. And as he's going on the way out of the building, he touched the mezuzah on his doorway. And they were very curious. And they said, what was that all about? So once they opened up, that was it. Once he had them going, again, it was too late. And we see that he had them all the way towards going toward Yiddishkeit. So this Gemara is the source of touching the mezuzah from Uncle. See, there's an inyan to touch the mezuzah to remind us of what the mezuzah represents when we go in and out of the house. This calls into question a tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eger in Siman Nun Ches, where he writes that there's no makor anywhere for touching the mezuzah. And a lot of the Achronim are very bothered by this Rabbi Akiva Eger because it seems to be very clear from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that Onkelos did touch the mezuzah. But we'll leave that question to Rabbi Akiva Eger for another time. What?
But Onkelos is a...
Yeah, but Rabbi Akiva Eger says there's no makor anywhere.
Not for everybody.
Yeah, he says there's no makor anywhere to touch the mezuzah. Right, okay, and right. This clearly seems to be something. Okay, so what do we say here? The Ramah, based on the Maharil in Amud Tafresh Lamed Daled, citing Rav Shalom of Ostreich, says that when you leave and enter the home, you should touch the mezuzah, and that people talk about reciting different psukim. We don't really recite those psukim anymore. That's an inyan by Hilchos mezuzah. And the Maharil brings all different types of psukim, as we said. And then the Birkei Yosef there in Hilchos mezuzah cites the Arizal, who would place his middle finger on the mezuzah and then kiss his hand. And the source for kissing the mezuzah is the Arizal, to show one's love for the mitzvah. This then becomes popular. It's cited by the Chayadam and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan. And once all those posts can bring it, it becomes essentially one of the major minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you don't have to kiss it. And all different types of posts can give different minhagim what they would do. The Chazon Ish would just look at it. He wouldn't touch it. All different types of things. But again, we see an old custom for touching the mezuzah, kissing it, to show our love for the mitzvah. There's a famous story about the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, Maskil, a young man who had enlightened leadings, came to the Chassam Sofer for smicha. And the Chassam Sofer saw that something was off about him. And when the guy got up to leave from the meeting with the Chassam Sofer, he saw he didn't kiss the mezuzah. And the Chassam Sofer asked him, how come he didn't kiss the mezuzah? And the man said, it's just a silly minhag to kiss the mezuzah. And the Chassam Sofer said, no smicha for you. To make fun of Jewish customs like that, you cannot be a Rav of Yisrael, you cannot be a Jewish leader, and speak in such a derogatory way about Jewish customs. Okay. So then again, we see here the importance of showing our love for the mitzvah of mezuzah when it comes to kissing. And a few more things before we get to Eretz Yisrael. Let's discuss Sfarim. Kissing Sfarim. We all know, many people, they pick up Sfarim, they put Sfarim down, they kiss them before and after using them. So the Kaf HaChayim in Kufnun Hei Sif Yud Beis cites the Ord Tzadikim, who says it's proper to kiss the Sefer when you're learning before and after using it. And he says, especially when learning Sifrei Kabbalah, if that's your thing. And he says, it's also a segula for good memory to kiss the Sfarim that you learn from. But there's an earlier makar than the Kaf HaChayim. And this is from the Maharil. The Maharil over here, in the second source on the page, writes as follows: Shira Mahari Segel. I saw the Mahari Segel Sefer Mehufa Chalyono Lamata Hafucha V'Nashko. He saw that a sefer was upside down, meaning the top is on the bottom. Not that it was the flat side was on the bottom, but rather, you know, the tall part was on the bottom, and everything was flipped around. And if he would replace it and put it in the proper way, he would kiss it to show kavod for the sefer. And then he says, Amar Kabbalah Ma'achasin Marishonim. If you find Sfarim on the floor, don't start picking one up at a time and kissing it. Because while you're wasting time kissing each Sefer, what's happening? The Sefer is sitting on the floor. Pick all of them up quickly. Then kiss it. Because it's not appropriate for the Sfarim that are sitting on the floor while you're going and kissing the other Sfarim. Okay, the Darkei Moshe and the Ramah Yerodei Reish Pei Beis all say that it's proper to kiss Sfarim as well, and this is another minhag. One more source before we get to Eretz Yisrael, and that is the Mishnah Brura in Tuf Ayin Zayin Hei. Kasav HaShla, the Shla says, Ra'isi, I saw Mibnei Aliyah, very holy people, they would kiss the matzah and the marah by Leil HaSeder. They would also kiss the sukkah. They would go in and out of the sukkah. And they would kiss the dal minim with the luv and the esrog. And it all shows love for the mitzvah. And praiseworthy is the person who serves Hashem with joy. This is the meaning of the cipher as well, and to kiss the sukkah. The Aderes writes in his autobiography, the Nefesh David, that when no one was looking, he would kiss the sukkah, because he thought people would think he's weird. So when no one was looking, he would kiss the sukkah to show his love for the mitzvah. Rav Huttner is recording the Rishimo slave by Pesach, saying, why would you kiss the maror? The maror's bitter represents hardship. So Rav Huttner says, you kiss the maror to show that you're makabel yisurim bi'ahava, that you accept Hashem's judgment even with love. And that's why you kiss the maror. So now that we see the whole range of kissing mitzvos and the love of mitzvos, let's turn now to Eretz Yisrael. Writes the Gemara in Ksuvas Kuf Yud Beis Amar Aleph, Rav Abba Menashek Kipe De'Akko. Rav Abba would kiss the stones of Akko. And later on the Gemara, there on the next Amar in Ksuvas Kuf Yud Beis Amar Beis, says that Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, Mignanar Ba'Afra, he would roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. All the end of Gemara's and Ksuvas are about the praise and the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes a pasuk, as it says, Shne'amar, Ki ratzu avadecha savaneha, because your servant wants its stones, v'yasafra yicholru, and he goes down in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, because he loves the land so much. And this is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim Perakei, Halacha Yud, Gedolei HaChachamim, the great sages, Hayimanashkin al tzuchum Eretz Yisrael, would kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael, Umanashkin avaneha, and kiss the stones, Umisgalgalin al afra, and roll around in the dirt. L'chein hu omer, because it says, Ki ratzu avadech es avaneha, v'es afra yichonenu, because your servants desire the land, and they love the land so much. There's a Gemara in Shvias, in the Yerushalmi, in Perek Dalad, similarly saying that they would kiss the ground. A holy minhag going back to the Tanaim and the Amoraim. Asks Rav Kook, why are we kissing the stones? What's so special about these rocks that they kiss them, as opposed to anything else in Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Kook explains as follows, that if he would have gone and kissed the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, and the apples, and the oranges, or the sunflower seeds, or anything like that, it might have been because of the mitzvos associated with those things. I'm kissing the fruit because of Meiser, I'm kissing the food because of Bikurim, and things like that. Because the mitzvos hatzlus far, it's the mitzvos that depend on the land. But it says Rav Kook, in this case, no. He kissed that which gives off no hana, no benefits. And that's why he kissed the rocks, to show it's the Kedusha that is latent inside the land of Eretz Yisrael that makes it so special, that we love so much, that we love and we cry and we daven over every single square inch of even the dirt and the dust that gives off nothing else for the Jewish people. Now, the Maharal has a similar idea in the Kedusha HaGadol there in Ksuvas. There is a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, regarding the sheet of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would learn all day and he didn't work, and somehow he managed to get by. That was his custom, that he was learnt all day and didn't worry about a parnasa. So the Gemara says, Harbe asuk Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai velo al sabi adam. Many people tried to act like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but they weren't successful, and their great mesiras nefesh, their great bitachon, didn't work out, and they had to end up leaving Torah and going back to work. So the question is, why were they not successful? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai did A. He seemed to model what people should do, and they tried to do it, and people tried to dedicate their whole days to learning, and they weren't successful. Why not? So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov and Parshas Miketz, says what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? Harbi Asu ki Rashbi. They tried to copy Rashbi. They weren't acting in the same way like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They didn't have the same Mesiras Nefesh, the same dedication, the same trust in Hashem. They thought, oh, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is doing A, so I'm going to do like that as well. I think I can manage that. And the answer is they lacked the true dedication of Rashbi, and that's why they were not successful. The Imrei Yemes and also Shmuel of Kaminka ask the same question and give the same answer regarding this idea. Shmuel of Kaminka is not the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. There was another Shmuel of Kaminka who was a few generations later, one of the Gedolei HaChassidus. And again, the Imrei Yemes both asked the following question. If you look at the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Gamda Mignanar Be'afra, he rolled in the dirt, Shine Amar. As it says, and it quotes the Pasuk of Ki Ratzu Avadecha Savaneha, that the servants desire the land. Now, I didn't quote it over here because it would have been a waste. But what does Rashi say in this Gemara? Rashi simply quotes the Pasuk again. That's all Rashi does. If you look in the Gemara in the end of Ksuvas, it has the line of the Pasuk, and then Rashi just quotes the Pasuk again. The only thing that's missing is the word Shine Amar, as it says. So they ask, what is Rashi doing? He just quoted the Pasuk of the Gemara said, and didn't add a single extra letter. All he did was leave out the word Shne'amar. The Imre Yemes says as follows beautifully. He says, the person who goes and kisses the ground of Eretz Yisrael doesn't do it because it's Shne'amar, because they found a pasuk, they found the Mari Makam, they found a source that said you should kiss the land. The person does it because Ki Ratsu Avadeches Avaneha. Because inherently, as a servant of Hashem, you feel a love that you want to kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael. Not because you found a Gemara somewhere that said to do it. You kiss the ground because you feel that this is the right thing. You don't have to be told. And that's why, that's what Rashi's telling us. I don't have to tell you Shina Amar. They did it because it was naturally the right thing to do. And it was a natural feeling for Eretz Yisrael. He himself was Ratsu Avaneha. He desired the land of Eretz Yisrael. There is a statement in a number of places regarding the Bris Karav when he came to Eretz Yisrael. It's found in the Sfarim Ovdos V'Hanagos Beis Brisk and the Sefer Masas HaMelech at the end of Ksuvis, that he noted that when the Bris Karav came to Eretz Yisrael, he did not kiss the ground when he arrived in the port. He did not kiss the ground. So the Talmidim asked him, why did you not kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael? Doesn't the Rambam write in Hilchos Malachim that a person should kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael when he comes into the border? So the Bris Karav said, look at what the Rambam writes. He says, Gedolei HaChachamim, greatest of the Rabbanim, they are the ones who kiss the ground. And the Bris Karav said, I'm not Gedolei HaChachamim. I don't rise to that level to go and give such a love and a display of affection to the land of Eretz Yisrael. I can't act in such a way. So they asked the Bris Karav, and Rav Meshulam David Salavitch, the Bris Karav's son, gave this explanation as well. And they said, but there are many places where the Rambam says, Gedolei HaChachamim, great people do something, and we do it. The Rambam says, for example, Gedolei HaChachamim give tzedakah before and during davening. Almost everyone gives tzedakah during davening. We don't find people not giving tzedakah because it says Gedolei HaChachamim. So they ask, what's pshat? How come over here everyone does this? When it comes to kissing the land of Eretz Yisrael, you chose not to. So the Shulam David said as follows. Because when it comes to tzedakah, that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. So everyone adopted the mitzvah. People give tzedakah all the time. So I give tzedakah on a Tuesday night, or I give tzedakah in davening. What's the difference? I'm still fulfilling the mitzvah. It doesn't show anything differently. But here, there's no mitzvah to kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael, he says. It's not what mitzvah are you fulfilling? And therefore he said, to go and have this hanhaga, this act, that's not really a mitzvah, that could be something that would look like yuhara, that you're acting beyond what maybe your pay grade is and how one should serve Hashem. The only question I have on this is that it could be there is a mitzvah. It could be there's a mitzvah of, it's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem, to love the land of Israel. There's a whole discussion regarding the prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara about the land of Israel, and maybe that stems from the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and maybe kissing the land of Israel shows your love for Hashem and his land. But nevertheless, one could certainly argue that maybe there's no inherent mitzvah. We also see that there's a minhag to kiss Eretz Yisrael when you leave. In Parshas Vayetze, right, Yaakov took the rocks, right? He took all the rocks when he was leaving. So the Surah HaMor says, why did Yaakov take the rocks of Eretz Yisrael? To kiss them goodbye before he left to go to Beis Lavan. In addition, the Gemara Megillah of Tesamat Aleph says that the Shekhinah is found in Bavel. The Shekhinah is found in Bavel. Why? Because it comes from the Kedush of Yerushalayim that was transplanted to Nahar Dea. What does that mean? How did the Kedush of Yerushalayim end up in Bavel? So Rashi says that 10 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people were sent into Galus with Yechaniah. And what did they do? They took the stones of Yerushalayim and they built the shuls in Nahar Dea. They built the shuls in Bavel from the stones of Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says this as much. Ki ratzu avadecha savaneha b'yasafra. So we see that, again, there's an idea of taking and becoming close to the land of Eretz Yisrael, not only when entering, but also when leaving.
Look behind you.
There we go. We have a Jerusalem stone right here to take it with us in Galus. Certainly fulfills this Gemara in the end of Megillah. Rav Yitzhak Nisim, who is the Sfarik chief rabbi, writes in his Yayin HaTov and Orachayim Simen Ches that this explains a beautiful Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos of Ches notes that Rabbi Yochanan was bothered, how could it be that the people in Bavel live for so long? Don't we find in Shema that it says, L'man yirbu yameichem v'yam b'neichem al ha'adama, You only have arichas yamim, a long life, when you're on the land. Which land? Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan wants to know, how do people in Bava live so long? They have no zechuyos, no merits of Eretz Yisrael. So he was told that they were careful to come to shul early and leave late. And in that merit, they merited a long life. So says Rabbi Yitzchak Nissim, I understand now. What happens when they come to shul? They have the stones of Eretz Yisrael there. They have the stones of Yerushalayim, and that merit of being near the stones in Bavel that came from Yerushalayim gives them the zechuyos to live a long life. We are all familiar with the famous story of Yehuda Halevi, after trying for many years to come to Eretz Yisrael, finally making it to the gates of Yerushalayim, bending down and with great emotion and fervor, kissing the ground by the gates, entering into the holiest city, and as the legend goes, trampled by an Arab horseman as he was coming by. And the story goes that as he walked up to Yerushalayim, he recited the words of Tzion Halo Tishali that we say, unfortunately, by Tisha B'Av. And in Tzion Halo Tishali, we recite, Epol Ape Al Arsecha, I fall on my face to the ground, the Erzeh Avanecha, and I desire your stones Ma'od, the Chonena Safracha, and I roll in your dirt, taken from the Gemara in Ksuvas. And this is a sign of our love for the land of Israel. Certainly, Halacha L'maisa, one should be careful. Is their act going to be Yura? Is it going to be misconstrued as something that is too haughty? What's the place? It's more difficult now because the new Ben Gurion Airport. You can't don't come on the tarmac anymore. You have to go into the airport. Then you go out to the cabs. It's not the same. But nevertheless, we should look at this mitzvah and look at these gemaras and these sugyas to increase our love of the land of Israel. And we should merit soon, speedily, to be there and to kiss it and to live in Eretz Yisrael.